and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris, and you're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. Now, many of us have heard of or may know about hand, foot and mouth disease, and that's commonly known as a widespread pediatric disease. So most cases are relatively mild and caused by the Coxsackie virus, but in more severe cases, in epidemics caused by the enterovirus EV71, severe complications may occur. Now, joining me on the show tonight is a scientist whose research is contributing towards eradicating the hand, foot and mouth disease among children. Dr. Chan Yuk Fun is the head of the Department of Medical Microbiology at University of Malaya's Faculty of Medicine. And she's also the winner of this year's ASEAN US Science Prize for Women. Welcome to the show, Yuk Fun. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Okay, it's a great honor.
I'm really curious to know more about your research. Talk to me a little bit about your work and why it caught the attention of the ASEAN US Science Prize and how you came to win it.
So I'm a virologist, and I have been working on hand, foot and mouth disease, especially enterovirus 71, which actually caused most severe types of HFMD. And besides that, I also work on other emerging infectious diseases such as chikungunya, Zika, as well as recently the COVID-19 as well.
Okay, yeah. So this is the time of the virologist.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a very busy time for you.
Yes, I mean, in each epidemic or pandemic, that's where, in a way, we sort of have opportunities to do more.
Did you find that the COVID-19 pandemic had set your work back a little bit? Were you taken off some of your research work with the hand, foot and mouth disease to focus more on the pandemic, which is not a necessarily bad thing? Maybe we needed all the resources to be focused on COVID-19.
Exactly. Yeah.
But did it so mean that your work took a back seat
that's
for hand,
right.
foot and mouth?
So because of the duration, since March, we actually just have to halt everything, and we couldn't allow postgraduate students to come in, despite, you know, they are like around Kuala Lumpur and so on, so they were just staying at home, and because we were not allowed to carry out any laboratory work, so basically all research actually just stopped for a couple of months. But because we are in UMMC, University Malay Medical Center, we are actually a COVID hospital. So we were actually, my colleagues were actually directly involved in the diagnostic. So we were actually extremely busy trying to, you know, secure supplies, you know, finding the right kit to get the nucleic acids, you know, to actually perform the PCR. So we were kind of helping to set all those things
up. Okay, so resources, human capital were kind of directed towards dealing with the pandemic. I want to ask you a little bit more about hand, foot and mouth disease. I don't know much about it. And, you know, I've always thought that this is a pediatric disease, that this affects only children. But that's not true, right? It also affects adults?
It does affect adults, but on a small population. Very, very small percentage. Okay. It all depends, you know, a lot on the hygienic level of the country. So for example, you know, in Malaysia, when we have done the prevalence using the serum, we know that about 70 to 80% of our children actually already had the infection, and maybe, you know, a couple percent of the adults actually are still vulnerable. That means in the past they have not, when they were child, they have not been exposed, and therefore sometimes you always hear, you know, that the mother actually get the infection from the child.
That
can happen as well. And the second reason is HFMD is actually a disease caused by a group of enteroviruses. So it's like what you have mentioned just now, is Coxsackie viruses, you know, they are just really, you know, you name it A2, A4, A6,
so there are multiple A10. Mutations of this virus?
They
or
are just a different type. Yeah, they are strains.
Okay.
So they behave slightly different. And, you know, most of them are actually mild, except, you know, we know very well enterovirus 71 can cause more severe infection.
Okay. So it predominantly happens within among children. and can happen repeatedly. That means depending
on
what kind of...
You can get it repeatedly, correct.
I see. Yes. So your work is looking at developing a vaccine for hand, foot and mouth disease.
Yes. So one of our research goals in the lab now is actually we are interested to actually make a vaccine for a few common enteroviruses. Okay. So we think that that is possible. So we are going to put in, something called, we know which proteins are actually can actually stimulate a immune response. So we want to put them together and then we try that on mice so that we can call it a multivalent vaccine.
Okay, why is it important to get a vaccine for this particular infectious disease? There are so many infectious diseases out there that perhaps don't have vaccines, or maybe not enough research for the specific research into the vaccine for that disease. Why is it important for hand, foot and mouth disease research for a vaccine and therapeutics and antivirals?
To be honest, I think we should develop vaccine for all viral diseases. But it all depends a lot on political will and how important, of course, how devastating and also, how serious and also what is the burden of the disease to your country or also worldwide. One characteristic that enteroviruses has is similar to polio virus, because we are almost eradicating polio virus. They are actually the same group in the same family. So if you can actually do polio, it also means that you can actually do for enteroviruses.
So it's in the same group as the virus that causes polio?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So polio, we already have a vaccine, and we are hoping, of course, everyone is hoping that, other than smallpox that we have eradicated, so polio will be the next in the list.
Okay.
So with that, actually, enterovirus 71 is one of the enterovirus that actually fatal.
Oh, the most that can cause fatality. So
yes.
In this
the same group of family. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break, but after this, we'll come back and talk more about Dr. Chan Yuk Fan's work in trying to find a vaccine or eradicating hand, foot, and mouth disease. Stay tuned to The Futures Female. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back to The Futures Female with me, Melissa Idris, and I'm chatting tonight to the winner of this year's ASEAN US Science Prize for Women, Dr. Chan Yuk Fan. She is working on developing vaccines and antivirals and also educational tools in relation to the hand, foot and mouth disease, which is quite common among children. In the research for developing a vaccine, what does that take? Because why is it that some infectious diseases you never find a vaccine, and yet you say with polio we've managed to eradicate that? How close are we in developing a vaccine for hand, foot, mouth disease?
Actually, the science of making a vaccine is not difficult. So, for example, we know from previous vaccines that already work, measles, mumps, rubella, they are just one type. So there's only one strain, and therefore, you will generate immune response good enough for it.
Right.
So that is really the main criteria. And subsequently, of course, you need to test it in mice model and subsequently in humans.
Clinical
when it's actually,
trials.
Yeah, that's right. So clinical trial is divided into trial 1, 2, and 3, where it actually takes many years, where you actually, of course, test safety, and subsequently you use the population. And
this is the first in human trial, right? So you have several trials that go from mice and then first into human.
In mice, it will be preclinical trial.
Preclinical,
yeah.
Okay. So where are you at with your work as a virologist, as a microbiologist? Where do you fit into the development of a vaccine?
So we are actually only currently at mice, because that's so much more to do.
Okay.
So like what I have mentioned in my award, you know, it's only a beginning for opportunity to do more.
Is it more difficult because there are so many different types of different strains of this particular virus?
So we actually, yes, the problem is that we, despite they all cause HFMD, but they don't actually cross-protect. So you actually would need to put in, you know, different parts of all the different viruses into one cocktail and then subsequently make that into a vaccine.
I'm quite curious, you know, thinking about hand-foot-mouth disease, the prevention of this infectious disease, it also somewhat mirrors, you know, what we've been public education on COVID-19,
correct,
right? So
yes,
the hand hygiene, you know, washing hands with soap and water, keeping a certain social distance with each other, physical distance with each other. It seems to me that there's a similarity,
correct,
a
yeah,
little bit, don't you think?
We should do more for prevention of HFMD. Mm-hmm. It was really before the COVID time, and we put together, you know, data scientists as well as, you know, child education specialists, and we hope that, you know, we can actually predict HFMD as well as actually make education modules.
Predict?
Correct.
Wow.
So we actually have some data from Ministry of Health. So we hope that, you know, we know selected months where the disease actually peaks, and then with that, you know, we think it is possible, you know, we could do something. We can alert the kindergartens or some sort, you know. So with that, you know, it will actually help, you know, to strengthen your preventive measures and so on. So
that
we thought that was a good strategy. So we applied a grant. So we actually got it when we were about to start, COVID started. So however, I do totally agree with you, you know, COVID has helped us to increase you know, the scientific literacy, so people actually now know the importance of hand washing, the importance of, you know, keeping you know, physically apart and so on. Again, when we actually visit kindergartens, basically, you know, parents just have to send their kids when the kids are like having fever, they will like, never mind, I will just drop my kids, you know. And I think with COVID, we are more alert that we should perhaps, you know, keep them, you know, at home. This so-called quarantine,
yes,
you know, isolation. That really helps a lot. And, you know, having, you know, cleaning kindergartens, sanitize.
Right. Were there policies put in place? Because hand-foot-mouth disease has been around for a while, and there's random outbreaks, you know, in childcare centres. What, have there been policies that were put in place to ensure that childcare centres, kindergartens, had a way to manage there was an outbreak of hand-foot-mouth
disease?
Yes,
so the policy came out since 2006. I mean, so it's actually mandatory to report HFMD when actually there's an outbreak, and kindergarten are supposed to close when actually two or more kids are actually infected in the same, you know, maybe a same class,
right,
and so on. So you have to actually inform the Ministry of Health. And however, of course, this is reactive, you know. So we as, you know, researchers, we are trying to come up with more, you know, proactive tools, and we try to encourage, you know, you learn, you have the knowledge, and you empower yourself, you know, that you know that you have to do it because, you know, that will make you a healthier,
yes,
children.
Yes,
you know,
will protect your children.
Correct. That will give your kindergarten, you know, a healthier image and so on.
So do you do a lot of the engagement? Because your work is not just limited to the research, right? You've become a little bit of a spokesperson for this infectious disease,
well,
in terms of educating,
correct,
and awareness.
So you know, it is really somehow, you know, funding system and also, you know, getting awards that leads me to do more of this, because, you know, most of my work in the past has been really in the lab, but because, you know, of all this, I get the opportunity to actually go to the community. So when I actually, you know, when sometimes I ask, is it possible, you know, if you have an outbreak, let me know.
Right.
So we actually did a few things like last year. So we went to like, our own UM Tasca. So we actually, when they had an outbreak, we wanted to know, you know, what exactly in the kindergarten that is actually contaminated.
Right. Okay.
So in a way, we actually put back science into practice. So we actually wanted to know, okay, if you know the tendency of contaminating the floor perhaps or the door, it's so you actually in theory, you know, you should put policy in place that
for
you should
surfaces,
not touch
right?
those surfaces, or you should sanitize that those okay. kind of surface more often. But you know, the truth is we are always reactive, so we have not really do those things. So I actually have the thought, why don't I go ahead and do that? And then we also go ahead, you know, try to you know, do some educational talks yes. in the kindergarten, but unfortunately there's COVID.
I know, well everything's so we are thinking, set back
okay,
a bit.
How can we do it online then? So
Okay, so there's an outreach still, you're still trying to get
the
word
out. I'm not giving up. So
good, wonderful.
So when I see, you know, certain, you know, how people change the trend, I think, you know, it's possible. So you just have to be creative and innovative. So it's not time to give up.
Wonderful. Okay, we're going to come back and continue our conversation with your friend in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned to The Future's Female. Welcome back to The Future's Female with me, Melissa Idris, and Dr. Chan Yuk Fan, head of the Department of Medical Microbiology at University of Malaya's Faculty of Medicine, winner of this year's ASEAN US Science Prize for Women. Now, coming back to your work on the vaccine, how optimistic are you that we will one day see the eradication of hand, foot and mouth disease?
To be honest, scientifically, I think it's not possible. But there are many reasons to it, because you know, it's a group of enteroviruses, so you can't potentially be, you know, just add on the different doses and you know, get a child to vaccinate, I don't know, 20 times.
Right, that's not feasible,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's not okay. feasible.
But what do you see in this field? Where are you most optimistic in us dealing with this infectious disease?
And moreover, I think, you know, the other second reason is because, you know, we can see polio vaccine. So we have actually been vaccinating for over 60 years. So in Malaysia, if you remember, last year we actually have you know, migrants from Sabah who actually had poliovirus after 27 years of disappearance. So we are no longer a poliovirus free country because of that case. Two cases, in fact, I think. So I think, you know, it's a lot of policy needs to be in place. It's not just, you know, it's not just the science of making the vaccine. We need to put in place, you know, detect, you know, response and contain it. So it's a lot of, you know, different aspect of the whole ecosystem
right.
that we need to make sure all the prevention works.
Okay, so research is just one part of it. Actually, that's quite interesting that you brought up the case in Sabah. And I'm just wondering, as a scientist working in this field, as someone who's looking, whose research is in trying to find a vaccine for infectious disease, how do you respond to the anti-vaxxer notion?
Yeah, so that is again another big issue. So that's when, you know, I felt, you know, will scientists like me, if we speak up, you know, will that help, you know, for them to understand what a vaccine is, you know, you know, if you compare yourself vaccinated and not vaccinated, you realize that, of course, you know, you protect yourself against the disease when you're actually vaccinated,
right.
and there's no reason, you know, that you actually reject a vaccine due to, you know, religious issue, due to you know, there have been, you know, people believing that it's caused autism, which actually has long been debunked.
Yes.
Correct. Mm. So, but sometimes, you know, all these things still comes back, and I think someone just need to actually, you know, inform the public,
right,
and improve, you know, that vaccine acceptance and so on.
Do you have these conversations when, you know, you are trying to engage stakeholders, trying to explain about your work? Do you have these conversations with parents, with childcare providers about the necessity of vaccination?
So by far, I have heard personally, you know, that you know, despite it has been debunked, right? Like, for example, you say, you know, people say autism, but there are still people on and off actually find, you know, that information online.
Yes.
So it's kind of
damaging.
Amazing that, you know, because there are just so many information when you just Google, you actually do not know which is right and which is wrong. So I think, you know, Ministry of Health are actually, of course, putting a lot of efforts in, you know, they in just like COVID, they are trying to, you know, put a lot of graphical information out there so that people can actually digest,
yes,
it better.
Mm.
So I think, you know, keep reminding them, you know, and keep, since they have been brainwashed in the other way, we should reverse that brainwashing.
I actually like what you said a bit earlier that, you know, in a way, the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, has increased our scientific literacy, right? We now are quite aware of pathogens. We're quite aware of what it takes, you know, in terms of prevention of the spread of a pandemic. And I think in some ways, we are more open to understanding that. So now with you, Yofan, I want to ask you personally, now that you've won this award, congratulations. By the way, I never congratulated you at the start. What is next now? I mean, this has been wonderful in terms of highlighting the importance of the work that you're doing in this infectious disease. What are you going to, how are you going to leverage this for your work?
So, of course, I'm hoping that, you know, with these awards, I will have opportunity to do more for my research. I will be able to attract, you know, good students to the laboratory. That's really important because most of my work, you know, it's a lot to do with, you know, how you work with a good team and how they actually accelerate your research. And of course, you know, I'm hopeful more funding will come in. So,
that is really important
in our research.
That really is the basis of research, right?
Correct.
The sustainable funding.
Correct. So unfortunately, like for example, recently because of, you know, industry IR 4.0 and so on. So infectious disease is actually no longer a priority area. In a lot of grant funding, so we really need to, you know, twist and turn the way how we apply for funding.
I see.
And so it became really difficult for a lot of us, despite, you know, like my colleagues, we have been doing a lot on, you know, antimicrobial resistance, on other emerging viruses and so on.
Mm.
So it's a difficult time for us as
the research work has to go hand in hand with the funding application, the grant application.
Correct. So, but again, you know, sometimes also you wait really long before you actually get the funding.
Mm.
So it's really, you know, if I have the power to change, of course, you know, it's you speed up the funding mechanism,
right.
You know, you make research more sustainable.
Okay,
that is really, and also easy, because like, for example, I spent almost, you know, 6 months trying to revise a proposal, and just one short meeting you defend and you are told that you are not shortlisted. So to me, you know, why make me do
it's
so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
that and at the end, you know, I'm being turned down. You should just tell me how I should improve, and you know, since you have shortlisted,
right.
And I think that's the way to go.
Well, I hope that this has at least shone a bit of light on the difficulties for getting research funding, and hopefully we can start that conversation. And thank you so much for joining me on the show. Congratulations
thank
on your
you.
Win, and I hope that you go on to do great things within this area.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Your time.
Thank you so much.
That's all we have on this episode of The Future is Female. I'm Melissa Idris, and I will be back with you same time next week. Thank you so much for watching, folks, and good night.